to Stevie, who's going to speak for you.
Hi everyone, I'm Stevie,
and I'm an addict.
Hi Stevie.
I don't know. I was kind of going through this little roller coaster, and I was kind of like, I'm not nervous, and I was thinking it's great, and then Kai was doing the announcements, and my heart starts going, and it's just fear, you know. That's all it is, and it's kind of I don't know when it happened. I've always been full of fear and of being judged and all that stuff, but it has got better in recovery, and that's why I'm sitting here. You know, before I would not be doing this, I wouldn't be sitting here, and sharing isn't one of my favourite things, to be honest. I love H&I. I'm not saying that because like that's a great thing, but I just do, and like doing main shares and speaker stuff, I just like, I'd rather not do it, but they're quite persistent here, and there were circumstances before, so apologies for not being able to do it before, but I'm glad I'm here, and I'm clean, and it's good to be at the meeting, and you know, it's just nice to be here and to catch a few people that I've known, you know, for over the years. You know, NA is amazing. The relationships we get here is just phenomenal. You know, like, I had no relationships before I got here. And, you know, and I don't see people all the time, you know, but when I come to London or I go around the country, conventions and stuff, it's just nice to just have that little connection, you know, and just kind of, and know people are rooting for you. That's one thing, because my head don't tell me that. My head tells me everyone hates me. They all want you to fail, so they're going to go, choker, he done the worst share of the year. but that's not the truth, because, you know, I'm an addict and I don't wish that. And if someone's struggling, I always, you know, I always kind of, I will for them, you know, to kind of do well. And the truth is, it don't matter, does it? What I share, it doesn't really matter. I'm still going to be clean when I go on. That's the main thing. What matters to me is me and my family and my four beautiful kids, yeah? And if I can help anyone along the way, even better, and do you know what I mean? Because that's what we're here for, is to carry the message. And like, that might sound really well, but I have to remind myself of that, right? Because my ego is like, I really want to do the best share, you know, so everyone stands up, standing ovation and all that stuff, start putting up the CD prices and all that stuff. But it's all like, you know, it's all, you know, comes from NA that I've been clean, and I never thought I would get clean at the end of my using. And I'm just going to go, I mean, normally, like, 15-minute shares, I try not to talk about drugs. I'm not one of the people that don't think you need to talk about drugs, but I try not to, because I can get stuck in it. But I've got 40 minutes, so, like, I'll try not to bore you with that. But I do, when I do share, I do try and think about the newcomer. If there's anyone new at this meeting, or new to NA, you are so welcome, you know. And like what you said, we will love you till you love yourself. It did sound weird to me. But, you know, like, I always say at home, if you're new to NA, you've won the lottery. You know, like, you might have the money, but you really won the lottery, because for me, at the end, I don't know, like, I always wanted this touch, you know. I was into different things, and my fingers in different pies, it didn't really work very well, but I was always waiting for this touch, like, it's going to happen, like, I was going to find a big bag one day, and it was going to set me up for life, and this is what I did never think it would happen in a church hall or a meeting room somewhere full of addicts hearing about their feelings, do you know what I mean? But that's where I won the lottery for the first time, when I found that identification with other people, you know, because, just to go back, like, I come from a big Irish family, like, and I had no reason to feel alone. Just, I don't know, I've got just over 90 cousins on my mum's side of the family, and we all lived on one estate in the city of Birmingham, and like, it was kind of like, most of my cousins were mixed race, yeah, and like, I felt like left out, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, like, we went to an infant school where, like, everyone had these great big afros, like, you know, and it was like me and my brother, do you know what I mean? Yeah, and, but like, I didn't know, like, kind of funny when you come to an annual, you hear different stories, and like, being a chameleon, like, I kind of pick people's stories and think, yeah, it must have been really bad my childhood, and then other times I think it was really good, and I still can't make my mind up, you know. But I'll tell you what, good is songs and stuff. And like, you know, kind of, they get you in touch. And my early kind of infancy was brilliant. You know, I really enjoyed it. There was loads. I didn't need to kind of reach out and have friends. You got that kind of family thing. And I enjoyed my early years. And I don't know what happened is, I just discovered self-obsession is what happened to me. I just started thinking that no one likes me. You know, like, that kind of low self-esteem, I'm unlovable, I'm unlikable, no one really likes me. And just that chatter that I still have today, you know, I started hearing that and believing the lies that it told me, because I had no one to run that by. You know, like, imagine, like, if you could, at that time, like about 9 years old, say to someone, does your head tell you a piece of shit as well? it weren't done, do you know what I mean? It just wasn't done, so I kind of had to listen to it, and that's it, that's all I had, you know? So, like, living with a liar, he's like, I don't know he's a liar, and that's how I had it all my life, and kind of growing up. And I had some like, sexual abuse stuff when I was about 9 years old, and it was like, to be honest, like, at that time, or even in my early recovery, I didn't know that had an impact on my life, to be honest. It's like, I was 9 years old, and I didn't think that I was a victim, really. I thought, you know, I consented to it, do you know what I mean? But, like, when I kind of look at it, like, my daughter's nine, and if that happened to her, she didn't consent to it. So what happened is, it kind of, like, it kind of confirmed that core belief about what a piece of shit I am. And what happened as well is I seen sex as dirty and wrong and stuff. So what happened is, through kind of, like, my early childhood, my early teenagers, my sexual conducts weren't good, you know, and I'm talking about with cousins, I mean, boys and girls, you know what I mean? So I was really kind of confused and full of shame about that as well, you know, and I was kind of like, I was a geezer, do you know what I mean? I used to really kind of overcompensate that stuff just in case anybody thought I was this or I was that, you know, so I could never be honest. Them were the things that really locked me down, that I can't tell anybody about how I think, who I am. And I was just a character thief, really. I'd pretend to be anybody but me. I just didn't want to be anyone but me. I just despised myself. This is long before I started taking drugs. Like, I used to look at other people and just think, it's like watching a TV show, do you know what I mean? My whole life is like watching a TV show, like other people engaging and laughing, and friendships are going off for weekends, and friendships lasting for years are going on holidays together, and there was just me, like, and there were a lot of people. And I made my business about a lot of people, but I had no friendships. I had no, like, intimate relationships with anybody. And I didn't believe that, but I made the choice that I didn't want it. I used to think people didn't like me, so it kind of confirmed that stuff in my head. And the reason I share about that is because hopefully if there's someone in here that's new, that, like, you're not on your own, do you know what I mean? It might be the first time you hear this on a CD or whatever, or if you're in this room, you're not alone. That's all I wanted to hear when I got here. I thought I was alone with all that stuff. And what happened is that when I found alcohol, drugs, I mean, alcohol's a drug, and I don't get into that party stuff, drugs are drug to me. It's like it started as a party, whatever drug it was, but the party ended, man, like not long after, because I got that relief when I took the drugs. All that stuff about what other people thought of me and what I thought about me just went out the window. Don't matter what drug it was. And it was like, oh, yes. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you know, I love everyone. I know everyone loves me. We're all one family. No matter what football team you support or whatever. And that's the thing, like, whether I was born an addict or not, but I know when I took a drug, an addict was born. I was chasing that from that day onwards. Like, give me more. And I used to think I was quite smart. People that I started taking or experimenting with, they did that on weekends. And I could not understand that. So you take something and I feel good. So why the fuck am I going to bother feeling shit all week, waiting to feel good on a weekend? I didn't comprehend that. So then I said, well, it's all, yeah, we'll have someone that'll go, nah, nah, nah. You know, they were getting apprenticeships and stuff like that. I was in my mind, I was enjoying myself. I weren't really. I was medicating myself to feel good, but I just thought it's a party and stuff. So anyway, and that progressed. But like a lot of my using, you know, like I was just sort of sick of pretending, right? Because I could always like find somebody who was worse off than me. You know, like when I was taking them, I wouldn't take that, and I always had kind of goalposts that, you know, well, I ain't doing that, am I? Do you know what I mean? And what, you know, it's just a disease of addiction. We all know, we all sat in this meeting that the disease of addiction is progressive, you know, and it will have you. And that's what happened to me. I ended up, I mean, like, you know, if I could do me using again, I'd just accept I was just a using addict. Like, honestly, like, I didn't have a good journey using me. I was a professional rattler. I spent like 15 years just rattling. Do you know what I mean? And I'd have like one day where I weren't. I'd have one day where I weren't rattling, and that day I'd be like trying to get like I don't know, group consciences together in crack ages going, come on, well, we'll all get clean together. All of us, I mean, we'll do this. And you know, like, we're doing packs and we're all, yeah, we're going to get clean, we're going to get a job. And all these guys, they've got this work coming up. And, you know, like, this kind of, like, this, it's a bit facey. It's, oh, it's, can you hear at the back? Yeah, right, okay. So, yeah, yeah. And do you know what? It was like when I started using, I used to like sit in these. I mean, crack ages ain't a nice place to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, just proper hostile. And I think that now I come from a place of fear. I operate from a place of fear, right? From a kid. And I suppose most kids that operate from a place of fear would kind of seek out, like, quite beautiful people that are soft in nature and loving and kind. And I've got this thing in me that don't want to know them people. I just want to find out the people that could cause me harm. Do you know what I mean? And I'll seek them out, and I want to be with them. And then when I feel safe around them, I want to know what they're scared of. And it's just like this self-destructive behaviour. And I just ended up kind of spiralling out of control. And the end of my using, after, I mean, I just... My wife, bless her, right, she went through 10 years of me, like Spanish rattles. I mean, I used to do them. I used to go to Spain, but not like, not very regular. I weren't that posh of anything. Twice. I used to get these deals out the sun. But like an example, in fact, it was my honeymoon. Yeah, I thought, because that was another one. You know, if I get married, I'll get clean. That'll do it. Yeah, because we haven't done that one before. Honestly, like three months before, so I'll be clean. I'll have a job and all that before we get married. And then it's a bit strong that, so we'll do it a bit a month before. And then it ended up after the wedding day. That is it. Do you know what I mean? New marriage and all that stuff. And anyway, it was pure chaos. I was telling about my family and their addicts as well. And it was just chaos. And the wedding was chaos. And then we went to Ibiza for our honeymoon. So I've gone over with two big bottles of Night Nurse full of methadone, right? And then we've got there. And by the time I've got there, right, I'm in it. Do you know what I mean? And she's codependent. She's like, look after me and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I'll get it. And she's, I'm not mocking her, by the way. She don't do that anymore. She goes to another fella. I was in the sickness. Do you know what I mean? I thought, I'll go to Spain, start drinking, have a few Valium, and I'll be all right. Do you know what I mean? I'll be sorted. Didn't know about total abstinence. And so I remember getting the bottle out, and because of the travel and all that. Anyway, the bottle slipped out the bottom of the box and smashed on the tiles. Oh my God. I was like, look, I've got to go, do you know what I mean? This is like the worst nightmare. But there was another bottle, and she was getting it up, and she was getting the glass out and all that stuff. Anyway, so I drank the methadone. I went out, first day, I didn't even go to bed. Great, this is, I mean, I'm going to get clean. I was all, I mean, this is just one example. This was like, there was loads of these. And I was just lying on the beach, drinking alcohol, loads of benzos, and I burnt myself, right? Now, look, because my legs are quite skinny, and they're whitier, and they burn quite easy, right? A second degree burns, right? I had to go to the hospital, right? And they had to put this stuff on me, so my legs were purple, right? The rattle's kicking in now as well, right? And you know where you have a blister? The whole blister was all around my legs, so as I was walking all around, right? And so I had to lie in my bed when I got back to the apartment, lie in my bed with her nursing me and stuff. And I was drinking and thinking, it's all right. And then anyway, by the time I could go, so this was 2 weeks she spent, this at her honeymoon. And when the 2 weeks was nearly up, well, there was 2 days left. And they said to me after the 2 days, when the blister, you know, the bubbles had burst, so I had to put this stuff up to keep it cool. But I couldn't go in the sun, but I could get out in the pool. At least I could get out of the apartment, right? So I went down and I just kicked my toe. And it looked like that, right? And it lifted my toenail up. Oh, man, what a nightmare, right? Anyway, so I went to the doctor anyway, and he pulled it off and he banned. So it was only half off as well. He just ripped it off and put iodine on it, so I've got this big bandage, right, this toe. I've got purple legs, right? And I'm like looking at her thinking, She's had it bang off her. Like, I really believe her. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing her a right favour. And anyway, so I'd come back, as soon as I got reception on my phone, I'm phoning the dealer to treat myself to one. And, you know, as long as I don't kind of get doing this and get doing that anyway. And that's how my using was, right? And and it was just so destroying me. And it's good that we can laugh about it now, do you know what I mean? And it was good when I first come to NA and I could laugh about it because I thought it was just me. And it was nice so I can identify with that kind of laughter. But what happened at the end of my using was most days that I sat in a wardrobe, because I had my window, right, and I had a wardrobe next to the window, and it was an old wardrobe. My mum gave it me. It was one of these good old solid antique wardrobes, and you had a big solid wardrobe doors, right? So I used to be able to shut my curtains, and then I'd pull the wardrobe door, and then I could sit in the wardrobe, right, and no one would see me lighter from outside. Do you know what I mean? So it's just sitting in this wardrobe, just smoking, just terror and terrified and stuff. But I used to think that all my neighbours thought I was like, because sometimes, you know, it weren't always like that. Sometimes I had a bit of money and I'd let everyone know, anyone would come in my house, I'd get it out again and start counting it and stuff. So my neighbour thought that I was a bit of a geezer, right? And Debbie come in, like, one day, towards the end, and she just said, it's getting embarrassing now, this has got to stop. And I went, it is going to stop next week. And she said, that Joe, the fella over the road, Joe, right, he was a chef, he'd just got this job as a chef, right, and it's like 14-hour shifts and stuff. And he said, Joe just said to me, when he went to work this morning, he looked up and he seen you in the corner of the window, just stood there still, looking at him. And he waved, and he thought you'd fell out of him because you didn't wave back. But he says, and he went to work, and he just called me. He said, is you all right? Because when I come back from work, 14 hours later, I looked up at the window, and he still stood in the same place. Now, like, honestly, like, now being clean, like, imagine, like, living that way. That used to excite me, you know. I used to get them rocks of terror and think, I can't wait to get into the wardrobe. No one's going to disturb me. This is going to be great. I mean, that is the insanity I'm using. That's why it's done. It's just separating me from the whole world, really. Do you know what I mean? And you can imagine, like, you know, I was she got pregnant, and I always kind of thought, how are you doing for time? Okay. She got pregnant, and I just thought, another thing, you know, great. This is something we haven't tried. I know the others haven't worked, but we've got to have some hope in me. If you don't believe in me, who's going to? How am I going to do if you don't believe in me? And so it's all that, you know, before the baby's born, like, don't take it too serious, 6 months and stuff, don't get myself short, get a bit of money in and stuff like that, that would be ready for the baby. And then it'd be like, 6 months, 3 months. And then, you know, it's that thing, and it's always kind of putting it out, and, you know, and like, not in the middle of the week, make sure it's a Monday at the beginning of the month, might as well to the end of the year and all that stuff. And what happened was that I just couldn't, and like you were saying about I swear to God, or swear, like, if I was wired up to the Jeremy Cole show, I would pass, like, genuinely my heart, when I was sobbing my heart out on the night, just saying, I ain't using tomorrow no matter what, I meant it, but I just had no choice, I had no power whatsoever. I didn't know that at the time, I just thought I was weak, I just thought I was pathetic, I thought I was a piece of shit, it's never going to amount to nothing, and so when the baby, well, when she went into labour, we nearly lost her, right? And I had to kind of rush her in, and she had to have an emergency cesarean and stuff. And I was there for about an hour, thinking that she'd gone. I just thought, man, flesh and blood and all that stuff. And anyway, when they brought her out to me, and she was alive and I held in my arms, I just swore, I'm never using again. I ain't doing this no more. I've had enough. For you, I love you that much. I ain't going to use again. And I meant it. Like, an hour later, I'm using. So it just destroyed me inside. I've got nothing left. There's nothing else I can do now. You know, like a hopeless addict. It's a worse state to be in. I had no. There was always something. I was always a man with a plan that made my unbearable life just about bearable because something was going to happen. Now that's gone. Now I've got nothing. I've got no hope left. And that's why I got to that place of suicide. And I'd write this letter, I had this kind of big fantasy idea that this big funeral and Snoop Dogg was going to be playing. and what happened was that there was this kid off my estate who I mean, when I think back, like, my using, like you've just said about, that's how my using was. When I engage with people, like when I engage with this kid off my estate, I used to buy, sometimes I have money, so I buy stuff off him and sell it on bargain pages and stuff. And I used to, like, counsel him. Right? He used to come and I'd be using with him. Like, I'd buy stuff off him, right? And then I'd smoke the gear that he bought with him. But as I'm smoking his gear, I'll be telling him he deserves better than this. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need to get into college and all that sort of stuff. And what happened is, he ended up off a sentence of going on this project and going down to Western Supermare. I was going to set my own life log. I can't say that lightly. You're like, I know in my heart where I was at that point, right? And he ended up phoning, I was ignoring the calls from my wife. She was frantic, knew what I was going to do. And so ring, ignoring the calls, you know, like, And anyway, he phoned me and he was going, what's happening? He's Baz and all that. And I'm down in Western. And I was going, yeah, I'm going to kill myself, Baz. You know what I mean? And he went, what? He says, no, I'm clean. You can get clean and stuff. And like at that time, like from a real egotistical macho, I was like, you know, like, I was sobbing my heart out to this kid because he just give me hope again. I don't want no hope because all hope does is destroy me inside. I was like, no, this vision at like my funeral that people would say, he tried everything, he was a soldier till he died. But then, do you know what I mean? and then like, Baz would pop up and go, he never. I told him he could get clean. So anyway, I got back home, she's in bits, do you know what I mean? Because like, she thinks she's waiting for the phone call and stuff. And I'm going, I'm going to get clean. So Northern, I'm going to Western. She's packing the bags, sobbing and all that stuff. And anyway, my brother phones me, who's the same as me. He's still using, I just pray, get, you know, like he's sat here one day with us, do you know what I mean? But he's ended up having one of them tickles I was talking about earlier, right? Ended up with a load of money. He's in Thailand. I'm desperate. I want to die. I'm going to Western, right? He's phoned me. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to Western. I thought I was going to rehab. It turned out to be a hostel. But so I'm going to rehab. He went, no, I'm in Thailand. Here's your flight number. So she's packing the bag going, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're not. You're going to rehab. I'm going, I hint. I'll go to Thailand first. I'll get clean. And then I'll come back and I won't need rehab. And she's going, you've done that before. And I go, listen, it again. Look what you're making me do now. You're after use. You're driving me mad. And anyway, so off I go, Thailand. Thinking, if I just smoke crystal meth and drink that Thai whiskey, you know what I mean? Don't touch the gear, obviously. Anyway, we ended up getting deported. Coming back. Luckily, we did as well, thank God. Do you know what I mean? Because it was chaos. Anyway, so I've come back. Anyway, got to Western. So now we get to the point where the hope is, yeah? And I ended up in Western Supermare. It was just a hostel down there set up by some fella. There's loads of rehabs down there, so people who'd relapse in there, that they had nowhere to go, and people were dying and stuff. So we set up this hostel so people could go to, do you know what I mean? To go back to meetings and stuff. God bless him, he died as well of this disease. But I ended up there, and there was loads of people who knew all this stuff, the programme, talking all this stuff. And to be honest, it's probably not a wise place to say this. It's full of Londoners, and at that time, I hated them. Honestly, and it was all like, swear and shit. And my rattle weren't good. It weren't good. So I found out I'm getting no detox either. It's just shut your mouth, get in the room, and do your rip. That's how it was. And I'm going, yeah, we sweet Shan and all that. I was with my knees, coughing, shitting myself. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember the one girl. She was on laundry. And you know, because she was rattling, I thought, she's nice, you know what I mean? When you're rattling, things happen. You've got no control over. So I had to go to Tesco to do shoplift some boxer shorts and stuff. But I remember just being in this place, right, and just thinking, like, this is pointless. Because when I get out of here, I'm going to use. I know I am, because that's all I've ever done. And NI came in, thank God NI came in, because this fella, and his name's Steve, and he's out there using, bless him, and he's another one that we've got to pray for. We don't shoot our wounded, man, the door's always open. But he carried the message of hope to me. He said he was from London as well, and he was homeless and stuff. And that's the thing you say, you know, like, look out for the similarities and not differences. You know, like, you say, like, how willing are you? Like, have you reached that point? You know, if it's going to work for you, are you willing to do the stuff that you don't want to do? Because the stuff that you have to do here, when I got here, it was totally the opposite of the way that I thought and what I did. But when he shared about that desperate, you know, and just trying again and trying again, how I felt about myself. And honestly, even in this place that I was in, no one shared like that. And I just thought, there's part of me that's just it's like dying, I wanted to scream out, going, I'm me, that's exactly how I was. But I was too scared to do that, do you know what I mean? I was just kind of sat there trying to look cool and hard and stuff, because, you know, I was scared of other people. But when he left, he just left a little bit of hope, just like, I remember going to my room and just saying to the kid who was in my room, and he was off my estate as well, saying to him, imagine that, June, imagine if we could stay clean. Like, imagine what it'd be like if you could live like normal people without doing all that madness and drinking and taking drugs and getting locked up and crime and like getting a job, and imagine what that would be like. And he went, yeah, man, that would be wicked, wouldn't it? And it is. Because, like, I got out of there and got into a dry house, and I started coming to NA, kept getting that hope. But the thing is, like, the disease of addiction, it's not about the things that we do, it's the things that we think, what goes on in my head. Like, I forgot already. I'm about a month clean. I'm thinking, don't need this NA anymore. I ain't as bad as them. Right, and all like the Birmingham, there was a little Birmingham firm down there at the time, and all going to gym, four times a day, doing door work and all that stuff. So, monkey see, monkey do, innit? You know what I mean? I'm not like them. I'm not these. So I was going to the gym four times a day and all that. You wouldn't think it now. It's a long time ago. And I was doing door work. And I used to think I liked violence because, you know, my childhood was a lot of violence around and stuff like that. And I used to think, I'm going to miss that madness. Anyway, and I was doing door work, and it kicked off in this little village. I had this kind of, this like idea, like these, I'm from Birmingham, the only little villages, you know what I mean? Shut up and stuff. And anyway, it kicked off and it was dangerous. He frightened the life out of me. All the dads, the uncles called me back to, I mean, proper wading. Do you know what I mean? And I ended up hiding like I thought I'd never do. I'm a soldier. I mean, I'll stand back to back. I was hiding. I got no drugs in me. Do you know what I mean? But you know what? It was like, that was a spiritual awakening for me. Right. That was a spiritual awakening. Like, I realised then what the people were saying in NA, that I need to change. Like, there's one thing, being clean. But the thing is, being clean ain't good enough for me. I don't know. If people just want to be clean, that's their choice. I've got no judgement. But it's hard. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, because how I feel about myself and what I think about myself won't change just because I'm clean. In fact, I only found out why I took drugs when I stopped taking drugs. I didn't have a clue before. But it masked all that stuff. So I surrendered, yeah, and there was this little fella, and he was from London, called Clint, when I lived in the dry house, and I was doing 90 clubs in 90 days, and all that stuff, standing on the wall, like, do you know what I mean, dancing like everyone else and stuff, and he used to wait for me when I used to come in, and he always, you know, he used to go and tell me, like, Steve, you're going to end up dying and stuff, you need to come back to NA, and I'd try and avoid him, and I'd stay, he's there again, and I remember he pulled me into the room once and held my hands and done this prayer, and I felt something, and I felt his love, really, you know, like, he said, I love you, Steve, I love you, I can see something in you that you can't see in yourself. And anyway, so when I surrendered, I went to him and knocked on his door, said, I've had enough, and he went, great, you know, like, I haven't had to use, because you don't, you know, like, recovery's like that, and it's like this journey, do you know what I mean, of discovery. Sometimes it's great, I love everyone loves me, I hate everyone hates me. It's like, no, I want to give it all, don't go to NA anymore, they're all dips, and not, it's like this roller coaster, isn't it? But we have to just hold each other up, don't we? And that's what he did. He believed in me. And he loved me till I could love myself, really. Because I hated myself still. And you know, I started going to meetings. He started putting me up for service. I had no self-esteem to say no. And I ended up like doing service every night of the week. And then the ego stuff is like, by doing service, you ain't going to change. You'll stay connected. You'll feel a part of the fellowship. But I weren't changing. So within 3-4 months clean, I think NA's had a result. Because I'm in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're doing okay with the meetings. They're not doing bad, yeah, but they need to be better. They're not organised properly. Do you know what I mean? People are talking. The message is not getting carried. So I've got a secretary position, brought in the white card, and if I don't like people not carrying the message, I'll just white card them. And it was easy, because I was a secretary. I can't do nothing, can they? Just white card. Pick me mates. Do you know what I mean? And I was doing some really good service. People were getting young. I was like, what's the matter with these people? Like, this is saving lives, this is, isn't it? They need me. If it weren't for me, it wouldn't be as good as it is. Look at this meeting. Anyway, so and then I went to area. And if anyone had any clean time than me, right, they got slaughtered, because I got the literature position. So all these people with loads of years clean time would come, and they'd get the literature early, because they had to go and see a sponsee or something, right? And I'd be like, you ain't going to the end of business. You got to be voting and taking part in the area. So I, like, boxed it off and stuff. Because it's serious stuff. I mean, I'm not mocking it. It is serious. But, I mean, like, you know, it's, the thing is, like we always say, if you take our recovery serious, we don't take ourselves too serious, and vice versa, do you know what I mean? But anyway, thank God for the steps, because the steps are what has changed my life beyond the inside stuff, because I can do as much as I want with the outside. But the truth is, it don't matter what you think about me, is when I go home and I put my head on the pillow and I still hate myself, what's the point? Do you know what I mean? Because my relationships with my kids ain't going to be good, because I still hate myself. That's where it was in the steps, where I started to discover the reasons why I believe the stuff the way that I do, to understand that I am powerless, that I need other people in my life. Because naturally, I do want people in my life, but naturally, I'm so scared of rejection that I won't let you know that I want you in my life. And I have to push through that, because I have to understand that I'm powerless. Same with my defects. You know, like, I've talked a lot about the step four stuff, really, with the sexual conducts and stuff. And I had to own that to other people. And when I did, and other people identified with it and said, and me, it was like, what a relief. Like, there's no way I would have shared that stuff. I wouldn't have shared. And the mistake that I did do when I did my first step four, when I revealed that stuff in my step four, so terrified of it, I went to another fellowship and got another sponsor from that fellowship, because I knew this sponsor would judge me and I wouldn't go back to that back to NA. And when I did, he just identified with me. And then I went skipping along with this, yeah, I'm so free, it's all going to work. Like, all this stuff, like, you do all this service and do all this good stuff, but then my brain would focus on the negative. Anything negative, it'd be on it. Yeah, but they don't know that, do they? Never heard anyone share that, have you? And that's how it happened. So when I revealed that, and he went, and me, and he told me, and I believed him, I was like, oh, it's going to work. You know, like going back to that point, imagine, it's like, it's going to work. So I went to this flat where people weren't working the steps, they were in recovery, they were clean now, and I went, guess what I did? And I told them, and I went, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Be careful who you're telling your step four stuff to. Because I had a year of that, again, in my head. See, it's just you and your sponsor. He's sick as fuck as well. I need to change him. He's worse. Fucking rocking. But anyway, through the process of the steps, yeah, I've been able to change my life. And, you know, like, I've been able to stay clean. And it hasn't always been an easy journey. I've had some difficult, you know, I've lost my dad before I got clean. And I lost my mum a couple of years ago. In fact, I lost my mum a week before I was meant to share here. And it was a real, real difficult time. You know, she was like the last thing that I've got, really. That's how I felt about it. But you know, people in NA... And feeling like having a purpose as well in my life is what carried me through those difficult times. And I've had some amazing times. I've travelled the world, you know, I've done a few world conventions. And I love all that stuff. It's not for everyone, but I love that. I love people. I'm a people person. I like connecting with other people. And I was telling you about that daughter that I nearly lost. Me and her have got the saying, she's 10 and I'm 10. Do you know what I mean? Aww. She loves that. She says, you wouldn't be clean if you weren't for me. and I've got another three kids. I've got four kids all together, and just not because of me, but just because of NA, that none of them have had to see me use, just because I found this place that like gave me this miracle of being able to not just get clean, but change my way of life, and to feel different about myself most of the time, and have loving relationships. And I'm just so blessed to be here. So, you know, if you are new and you're struggling, sometimes it's really hard, but you know, just get in the no matter what club, because no matter what, you do not have to use. The excuses are over. Yeah, just reach out and allow someone else to love you. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.